Mark chapter 5. I want to preach a little bit different message this morning. And it's titled, A Man with an Unclean Spirit. And I have a few statistics and all to go first before the video. All right, so you can just go through the message and I'll tell you when to turn that on. Mark chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when they were come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together this morning. Lord, this is a very serious subject today, that we might be able to see people who are, Lord, oppressed by demonic influences that has brought them into a place of subjection to the authority of the God of this world, that has consumed their life, their thought process, their actions, Lord, with every kind of imaginable addiction. And I pray, Lord, you might help us as a believer in Christ and certainly as a church ministry to see the need of our hour in which we live. And God, that we would be willing, Lord, to do whatever is necessary to be able to bring deliverance from bondage and opportunities for people to hear who Christ is. And so, God, I need your Holy Spirit this morning. I need the power of God. I need the grace of God. I really need, Lord, you to speak through me what you would love for every person here to hear. And so, God, will you speak now, because we're listening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Addiction can be defined as a compulsion, a compulsive need for and use of a habit-forming substance. And this enters into all kinds of realms of life. We're not just talking about drugs. We're talking about alcohol. We're talking about tattooing. We're talking about cutting. We're talking about manipulating and mutilating your body. We're talking about sexual desires that are inappropriate. People get consumed with all kinds of addictions. And the sad thing is what I'm seeing, and especially over the last several years, that many of the addictions that were simply in the world, in the culture in which we live, are now permeating the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have ceased to walk away from the world, and we have started embracing the things of the world, and it has corrupted the body of Christ. And I think it's time for us to repent, and a time for us to get right with God and start walking in fellowship with the Lord, knowing and realizing when we talk about these addictions, we're talking about someone having an unclean spirit. It is something that is generated by the devil, is generated by the demons of hell. It is not, an addiction is not a disease. It's a decided choice to be involved in whatever the addiction may be. And that decision is made because of the enticement and allurement of the devil upon every individual. They say that statistically in America, 1 in 7 people 12 years and older have a substance problem. Now you stop and think about that for a minute. 1 in 7 people in America have an addiction problem. They say in New Jersey, heroin is a problem everywhere. For many New Jersey counties, heroin abuse remains a major factor in a steep increase in drug abuse cases in recent years, particularly in Ocean County. And folks, we are right in the center. We are in the hotbed, if you will, of substance abuse. And I really believe with all my heart, the Christian has a message of hope that we ought to be sharing with a world that has no hope. And so Toms River had a stunning 51% increase in drug use between 2014 and 2015. The amazing thing is, in New Jersey, the top townships that have problems with drug abuse is Brick, Toms River, Lacey, Lower Township, Millville, Berkeley Township, and Woodbridge. Now, folks, we're right in the middle of it. So my question is, what are we doing about it? My question is, how are we trying to reach out to people who are abused by others and abusing themselves because of the addiction that they are in? I don't think we as believers, and certainly as a church, can sit back and do absolutely nothing. New Jersey has the 6th highest rate of fatal youth drug overdoses in the country. Number 6 in the country for having the most youth overdoses on drugs. 10.7% of all deaths among people ages 12 to 15 are the result of drug overdoses. Now, we can talk about statistics worldwide, we can talk the statistics in our country, but I'm talking about Ocean County. I'm talking this morning about Toms River. I'm not talking about anywhere else. I'm talking about where we live. We have to acknowledge the devastation that is taking place on people when it comes to addictions. 70% of New Jersey teens who abuse prescription drugs say they get them from a friend or a relative. What a shame. A relative would give a child drugs to take? The sad thing is, a friend, let me tell you, if somebody says they're your friend and they want to give you drugs, they're not your friend. 15% of New Jersey teens say they drank alcohol for the first time before they were age 13. 39% of tweens and teens ages 12 to 17 in New Jersey admitted to smoking marijuana at least once daily. 39%. Now, what do you think is going to take place if our magnificent new governor says that it's legal to be able to smoke marijuana? The amazing thing is, I was listening to a thing on the radio the other day, and they were going on and on about, well, now he wants to legalize it, but here we have senators in our state legislation is presenting a bill that would decriminalize marijuana. So you can have a certain amount of marijuana and you not be thrown in jail, but you'll be fined. It's about making money off of people's substance abuse. And they literally went as far as one person on there, went as far as saying, well, I don't know why we're so worried about marijuana. I think we should just go ahead and legalize prostitution because of the amount of money that it'll bring in. We have become so perverted. We have become so out of control that every kind of wicked conduct and every type of vice that destroys man, we're wanting to embrace. Deaths from drug overdoses topped in 2016, killing more people than guns, car accidents, and suicides combined, according to analysis by New Jersey Advanced Media. There are more teenagers, more people being killed because of the drugs they are taking than anything else that you lump together that causes deaths in New Jersey. But we want to act like there's no problem. We want to act like it's not an issue. We get uncomfortable when we start talking about it. But the reality is, we as believers in Christ realize this maniac that Jesus came in contact with, his problem was he had an unclean spirit. And the problem is people are living according to an unclean spirit, the god of this world. From 1999, I have a graph to show you the increase in drug overdoses in New Jersey. This is from, the graph starts on the left in 1999. It ends on the right in 2016. That's how drastically deaths in drug overdoses has rapidly grown in the state of New Jersey. Now, folks, how can we say we don't have a problem? How can we say, well, wait a minute, people need to just live and let people live and do whatever? How can we not be proactive against these social ills that are going on in the culture in which we live? The reality is, it's destroying people's lives. But I believe that God has an answer and that God has a way of changing people's lives when they have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I've been praying about it for a while now. It's been on my heart about starting a Reformers Anonymous ministry here to reach people who have drug problems. And we're going to pray about it. We want you to pray about it. And we have 40 days of fasting and prayer that start on Tuesday. And we want you to pray seriously about what it is that God will enable us to do to reach out into our community, our neighborhoods, and help people find victory through faith in Jesus Christ. I have a short video I want you to watch. And it's basically a video about victories that people have experienced in overcoming their addictions.
Do you or somebody that you know struggle with a horrible habit? Is this habit destroying their life? If so, we sense the presentation you're about to experience could change their life. Reformers Unanimous is an international addictions program with multiplied hundreds of outpatient programs and residential treatment facilities that boast over an 82% success rate at affordable costs. Whether you or your loved one needs outpatient or residential treatment, or even a program in the privacy of your home, their recovery starts here. If the church focuses on the needs of our nation, those who are hurting, and those who are going to begin to hurt for the very first time and look for help, I sense that we as a ministry will be strategically placed to make an impact, a great impact, in these next 10 years.
Jesus Christ can make a difference in people's lives. But he can't make a difference in people's lives unless we're willing to tell people who he is. And in this chapter here where we read, Jesus comes in contact with this man who had an unclean spirit. And I'm afraid we come in contact with people every day that are manipulated and controlled by some type of addiction in their life. And I believe that we need to become more proactive in reaching out and trying to help people find victory through Christ Jesus. And our text here, notice first of all, when you deal with this matter of having an unclean spirit or addictions, there's isolation. In verse 3, it says, "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." I want you to understand this morning, when we talk about drug addiction or any type of addiction, it isolates you from those that are around you and those that care for you. And he was isolated. He had no friends. Nobody would come and see him. No one would sit down and dwell with him. He was a man that was out of control, and he had no friends whatsoever. And may I say that when you allow yourself to become consumed with and manipulated by whatever the addiction may be, it isolates your friends. People don't want to be around someone like that unless they get caught up in it themselves. And then the person that is caught up with it, whether it be drugs or alcohol, is not being a friend to you because they're not giving you what you need to get victory and have deliverance. And so when you talk about addiction and having an unclean spirit, it always deals with isolation, no friends, no family. You know, his family was not there with him. He was on his own. He was in the tombs. He had no family members to enjoy each and every day and have conversations with. He was completely isolated from friends and from family. And I know this from being an alcoholic. I know how it consumes your life. I know how it gets a hold of you. And every decision that you make, is based upon how to get your alcohol or to get your drugs. If it means not having family, then that's okay. We don't want the family because we want the alcohol or we want the drugs. Or if it means not worrying about my friends or developing friends that do not care about me, then that's what I'll take, because everything about your life is about the alcohol or the drugs that you take. I was literally willing to jeopardize my rank and position in the Marine Corps because of the alcohol. I was so bad that I literally would sneak beer to work with me when I was in the Marine Corps. And it's a wonder they didn't catch me. And if they did catch me, they would have court-martialed me and they would have put me out of the Marine Corps. And listen, when you're consumed with an addiction, your life revolves around that addiction, whatever it may be. People are consumed with their cell phones. We laugh, we joke about cell phones, but people are addicted to their cell phones. Our children cannot put their cell phone down for 10 minutes. Our children cannot interact and communicate with their peers or with adults that are superior to them on an ongoing basis because of the fact that everything revolves around the cell phone. It would do you well to turn your phone off and put it down. You do not have that much information that you need to know every moment of every day. And so put the thing off. You're addicted to your phone. You're addicted to the internet. You're addicted to all these things, but we don't call it addiction. We say, oh, I just need to be connected. No, you want to satisfy the addiction that you have. And if it means not communicating with and interacting with family, if it means not having friends that are trustworthy and desiring to help you, that's okay, because I have to satisfy my addiction. No fun. It's no fun to be consumed with an addiction. And the world says, oh, come and be a part of the drinking scene because you'll have so much fun. Oh, yeah, just wait till you're strung out on the drugs and there's nobody there with you, and you don't want to. You're not interested in going out and trying to enjoy a day of recreation or entertainment because of the fact that your body's craving, driving, desiring, and having to have that drug in their body. No fun whatsoever. Why? Because just as this maniac, he was isolated from those that he loved, isolated from the experiences in life, and whatever addiction overcomes you will put you in a position of isolation. You'll walk out on your family. You'll turn your back on your friends. You'll adjust your whole lifestyle just to be able to satisfy the addiction that you have. We're talking about a serious problem, a real problem. And as we saw from the statistics, it's a major problem right in our neighborhood. What are we going to do about it? Isolation. I see another thing here about this man in verse 4 and 5, aggression. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And notice he was just uncontrollable, according to verse 4. They couldn't bind him. They couldn't chain him up. He would break the fetters. He would break the chains that they would put on him. No man could get him under control. No man could contain him. I remember years ago, of a young fellow I led to the Lord, and I led his mother and father to the Lord. And he was strung out on drugs, and he started getting some victory over the drugs. And next thing you know, he went right back on the drugs again. And I know right now, he's in prison for second-degree robbery. And he's going to be in prison for at least another 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years, before he even has a chance to get out of prison. Let me tell you, that young man, I would meet with him, and his mother and his father would sit there and weep and cry. And I would tell him, you see what you're doing to your parents? Do you understand how you're breaking their heart? Do you understand how you're stealing from them? You're doing everything that you can possibly do to satisfy your drug problem. You need to surrender your life to Christ. You need to get victory over this. You need to get yourself under control. But now I'm going to tell you right now, the addictions take you to a place of being uncontrollable. It will consume your life. Hey, kids, you go ahead and listen to your friends, your peers that says, oh, it won't bother you if you take and smoke a joint. Man, it'll just make you chill out, make you feel good. You'll be okay. It's not a drug that's going to destroy your life. You realize how many people that have become heroin addicts that started by smoking a marijuana cigarette? Oh, it won't bother you to smoke a cigarette if you want. Oh, I know. I smoked a cigarette when I was a teenager and developed a desire for it to the point where I was smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I'm thankful that God saved me, because I'll guarantee you right now, this body would be in the grave consumed with lung cancer the amount of cigarettes I was smoking. But I'm going to tell you, I'd throw those cigarettes out of the window and stop at the next rest area and buy another pack. Uncontrollable. And any addiction you get involved in will put you in a position where you are out of control. Not only that, but emotional. Notice he was crying night and day. It's amazing how a drunkard will cry and cry and cry, but he'll do nothing to satisfy his needs. I remember years ago when I was driving bus starting church up No Curse. They always gave me the midnight runs and all this, that, and the other, and I got all the dredges of life on my bus. But I had this one guy, he was drunk, and he got on the bus, and the woman sitting in the front seat, he was mouthy, you know, as a drunk is. And he's going on and on. The lady up front told him, she said, you need to stop talking like that. The driver of this bus is a Baptist preacher. I'm like, why did you tell him that? So the next thing you know, he was being so disruptive, I told him, get out of your seat and sit on the step. And if you don't shut up, I'm going to put you off the bus. And he sat there and continued to mock me. Oh, preacher, you need to save me. You need to save me. That's all he kept saying. I looked at him and told him, said, I can't save you because you're going to hell. And you're going to hell because you allow your stinking booze to control your life to where you want to express this emotional distress or whatever in your life. But you're not sincere one bit, because it is the alcohol that's speaking through your mouth. Amen. It is the devil's drink. And you're drinking the devil's drink and you're speaking the devil's words. I said, you're going to die and go to hell because you won't trust Christ as your Savior. Oh, I'll tell you, the drugs, the addictions will get you in an emotional state that's not sincere. It's only because you want to get out of whatever the situation is in your life at that moment. So he's always crying. He didn't do anything to change his situation. He was just crying about his situation. Notice physical. He was cutting himself. He was taking the stones that was around him and cutting himself. And may I say this, that all this tattooing and cutting and piercings and everything that's going on among Christians today is demonic. It is generated by Satan because Satan wants to destroy the body that God gave you. He created you in his image. And it is a demonic thing that takes place when we mar, manipulate, and destroy the body that God has given us. And this man, because of the evil spirit, the unclean spirit he had in him, listen, he did not care about what he was facing, what he was dealing with, how he was harming himself. And it's just amazing. You get somebody strung out on drugs. They don't care about the tracks in their arms. They don't care about the fact that they're blowing their veins out to put the drugs in. The drunkard doesn't care about that his liver is being eaten up because of the booze. All he knows, I got to satisfy the addiction. And yet Jesus Christ came in the world to set us free from those things. So there's isolation. There's aggression. Notice there's submission in verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him, cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Notice submission. Jesus was the one that made the difference in this man's life. When he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. Now I'm going to tell you, the thing that makes a difference in a person's life is Jesus Christ. I was an alcoholic, smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, cursing every other word that I said in a sentence was a curse word. But God delivered me when I came to Jesus Christ. And the answer for Ocean County, the answer for Tom's River, people joke and they laugh and they state that, oh, yeah, Tom's River North, that's heroin high. Oh, that's heroin high. Well, let me ask you something. What are you willing to do in presenting Jesus Christ to make a difference in those people's lives? When he saw Jesus, it made a difference. And people need to see Christ in us and they need to see the Jesus of the Bible, not some hypocritical, foolish garbage that's going on out there nowadays, but a real Jesus Christ who can make a real difference in their life. Jesus made the difference. Possession, where am I here? Possession calls the distressed. He said, he cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. The amazing thing is that the possession of the demonic spirit that was in him brought him to a position of thinking that Jesus could not help him, but rather God came to torment him. Oftentimes what people think is that your addiction takes over so strongly in your life that when somebody tries to help you and encourage you and try to right away, it creates a distressful situation because of the fact your mind is not right, your heart is not right, and your body is controlled and manipulated by the addiction. What are you trying to do? You judging me? Well, I've tried to talk to people that are drug addicts or alcoholics, and oh, what right do you have to say something to me? You just judging me? No, I care about you. I want to be a help to you. And you need to get victory in this area of your life. No, you don't. You don't care nothing about me. You just want to torment me. You just want to make fun of me. You just want to put me down. See, when you're consumed of an evil spirit, you have to submit to Jesus Christ. But the problem is you're constantly submitting to that evil spirit. possession caused the distress, where perception caused the distress. And he perceived that God was only there, Christ was only there. The demons inside of him are acknowledging the fact the only reason why Christ was there was to torment him. Now listen, victory does not come until you submit yourself to Jesus Christ. Victory is not experienced until you're willing to say, here's my life, my all is yours, Lord. And you give your life to Christ, and then you experience victory. But the perception is, now wait a minute, God just wants to torment me. God doesn't want me to enjoy life. God doesn't want me to have fun. And because God doesn't want me to do all these things, then I can't trust what that person's saying. I can't trust what the Bible says. But yet the victory comes through submission. Notice reconciliation that took place in verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Notice reconciliation is by the command of God. When Christ commanded the spirit to come out of him, the spirit had to come out of him. And we need to commend people to Christ. We need to command people from the word of God. We've got to stop being politically correct and start saying, thus saith the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It does no good for me to try to pacify somebody in their addiction. They need to get out of it. They need to abandon it. They need to get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. By the command of God, they can be reconciled unto their Creator. By command, but also this reconciliation took place when released. He said, come out of them, thou unclean spirit. And may I say this, that God is in the business of removing that unclean spirit from us. He gets it out of us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not the person you used to be. Paul says, put off the old man. And he says, put off the old man with all the garbage and all the sin and all the stuff that just controlled and destroyed your life. Put that off and put on the new man. And so there is this matter of being released from the spirit. I love the fact that when you go through, I was going to go through, but I knew I wouldn't have time. But you go through the Bible, you go through the Gospels, and every person that came to Christ, he released them from their bondage. The woman caught in adultery, she was released from that adulterous relationships. The man that was blind, he was released from his blindness. I don't care what the situation is. The woman of Samaria, when she came to Jesus, she had a man that was not her husband. She had had five husbands, but Jesus Christ released her from that. God is in the business of releasing us from the bondages that we live in. Why? Because he has promised he would reconcile us unto himself. Notice there's complete deliverance. In verse 9, he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. When I read that verse, I thought of this. One addiction does not stand alone on itself. There's a multitude of addictions that come along together. And one creates another problem, another one creates a problem upon that, and they're dependent upon each other, and they control, manipulate person's life completely. But when you come to faith in Christ, he delivers us completely. He cast out every clean spirit that was in this man so that he could be reconciled. Notice the disconnection, however, that takes place in verse 13. I always stand amazed with this chapter. Not just because of the maniac who was demon-possessed, but because of the response of the people. And people have a tendency to disconnect with what God is doing in the life of an individual. Notice in verse 13, and it says, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, where they were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine and told it to the city in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Notice this connection here. There's a spirit of unbelief. They cannot believe that this man has been delivered. And people today act like, Christians act like, well, you can't have victory. Well, you just got to kind of let your kids do whatever because you really can't have victory. Well, you know, the days have changed. It's okay to have a social drink once in a while. I mean, it's just a different world that we're living in. People, it's okay for them to do that type of thing. We excuse every type of addiction, whether it's large or whether it's small, because of the fact we have a spirit of unbelief. We need to believe that God can completely deliver, and we need to stop being disconnected with the reality of what faith does in a person's heart and life. Notice they were unwilling to pay the price. In verse 16, it says, they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil and also the swine. Oh, there's the problem. The problem wasn't the fact that the fellow was set free. The problem was the fact that they lost money. It cost them something for this man to be set free. And may I say, if you're going to do something and try to do something to bless people and give deliverance to people, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And sometimes we just forget about this. And I remember an old story of a pastor was talking. He was preaching in church, and he was saying, I'll tell you what, folks, I'll tell you right now, this church needs to fly. This church needs to fly. An old deacon in the church shouting out, amen, preacher, this church needs to fly. Well, you know, this church needs to walk with God, continue to walk with God. The old deacon sitting back there shouted out, amen, preacher, this church needs to walk with God. We need to soar high with God. Then the preacher said, yeah, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost money that we can walk with God, that we can fly with the Lord. And the old deacon said, let her walk, we don't need to fly, amen. That's the attitude many times. He goes, oh yeah, we ought to have a bus ministry. Oh yeah, we need the kids to be able to come in and hear about Jesus Christ, but don't expect me to drive the van. I don't understand why we can't get somebody to drive a van. We got kids calling here, begging and asking to come to church. And they can't come to church because some of you men won't step up to the plate and get in a van and drive it on Wednesday nights. Shame on you. Don't tell me how much we ought to buy a bus. Don't tell me how much we ought to be spending money to do different ministries. Don't tell me about going out and trying to be aggressive and reaching people. If you're not willing to pay the price to get somebody saved, to pay the price to get somebody in the church, to pay the price to be able to impact somebody else's life, don't be like the men in this story and say, wait a minute, we heard about those 2,000 swine. That was our livelihood. And you ran them off a cliff. So what happens? There's a disconnect. There's always this, oh yeah, I think we should, but that's where it stops. Then there's evangelization. In verse 18, and when he was come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Notice he had a great message. How great things the Lord hath done for thee. I was talking to my brother the other day, and we were talking about people we went to high school with that are not saved. I've tried to lead them to the Lord over the years. They won't get saved. He said, the amazing thing is there's different people who know him and know me from our past, and they'll mock and ridicule and say, ha, what are you talking about? Them pastors of churches? Well, you should have known him when I knew him. You should have known him when I knew him. Yeah, but see, the thing is this. When they knew me, that's when I came to know Christ. And when I came to know Christ, God changed my life. And God gave me a great message to share with people. The great things that God hath done in my life. And I'm going to tell you right now, the devil wants to ruin your life. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to do whatever he can to get you consumed with all kinds of addictions, all kinds of debauchery, and all kinds of wickedness. And because of the fact the world says it's not that bad, we ought to legalize prostitution. We ought to legalize marijuana. How dare you say there should not be homosexual marriages? How dare you say that somebody ought to be pure in how they live? Hell, what is wrong with you? Don't say that. Wait a minute, I got a great message for you. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm thankful that God's not willing that any should perish. And I'm glad that this morning, if you're lost, you're without hope, I'm telling you right now, there's a Savior who loves you with a great love that'll set you free from your bondages. Evangelization. He said, go back and tell them the great things God has done. Go back and tell them how much the Lord had compassion on you. Now listen, if God has had compassion on you and me, why can't we have compassion on someone else? A man with an unclean spirit. God, listen, God can set the heroin addict free. God can take the desire to taste that liquor out of your mouth. He can take it out. Those pornographic images that you keep turning on your computer, I want you to know this, that God can give you an eyesight that looks at those pictures with disdain and say, I got to turn this thing off because I need to have pure thoughts that come from God and God alone. I'm just saying this, we have limited our God, and God is the one who wants to set the man with an unclean spirit free. So what are you going to do about it? Right now I'm asking you to pray about it. In the next few weeks we're going to be giving you some more information about it. But I know this, God can't do anything in your life, my life, or that person who is addicted to something in their life, if we do not pursue him in prayer. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh God, I praise you that you've set me free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Help us, oh God, help us to be plugged in to what God wants to do in so many people's lives. I just cannot believe the statistics, Lord. So many teenagers that are dying in our neighborhood without Christ because of drugs. Help us, God, help us have a heart that's tender towards them, a heart that will respond to the prodding of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.